Rav Kook didn't just publish this broadside. He sent telegrams all over the world to Jewish and non-Jewish political and religious authorities. His telegram to Stephen Wise is extant, and it read, in English, "Danger imminent. Do utmost to rescue innocent Stavsky." To rabbinic colleagues and to Jewish communal leaders the world over, he sent the following telegram in Hebrew. Gam Stavsky naki v'tzadik, hilachamu b'chol kochoteichem, v'nitzachon ha-tzedek. I'm translating that. Stavsky too is innocent. Wage war with all your strength so that justice will prevail. And among the many world leaders who received messages from Rav Kook at the time was the Archbishop of Canterbury in England. The response to Rav Kook's broadsides, as they were printed in the newspapers, was less than pleasant. The Labor Zionist Party, the Workers of Israel, denounced Rav Kook as a turncoat and charlatan. Articles against Rav Kook appeared in the major dailies. Davar published an article against Rav Kook, entitled in Hebrew, Eile Rabanecha Yisrael. These are your rabbis, O Israel. A play of words, a play on words from Parshat Kisisa, recalling the golden calf episode, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. Rav Kook's letter, which is the whole purpose of my giving you this historical introduction, was written at this point in the story. But first we'll finish the story, and then we'll read a letter. Rav Kook persisted in his efforts, and in effect he alerted the entire world to an injustice about to be perpetrated in Yerushalayim. Interestingly, Stavsky, who was charged with this murder, never met Rav Kook, at least to this point. And even more interesting, Stavsky was not an observant Jew. And when I say he was not an observant Jew, I'm using a euphemism. Yet Stavsky knew full well who his benefactor was. And he addressed a letter to Rav Kook from prison as he awaited the start of the appeal process. And this letter was written in Yiddish. Now I'm going to translate it into English, at least part of it. Quote, I'm a plain Jew, and I wonder why have I merited it that Rav Kook concerns himself so much with my fate. I ask only, Rav Kook, that you continue to remember me in your prayers. My suffering is made easier by the knowledge that none other than you, Rav Kook, looks after me and remembers me when praying to the Lord. May the Lord protect his people. The appeal process was concluded on a Friday. It was Erev Shabbos, and indeed it was Erev Tisha B'Av, 1934. Stavsky was acquitted at the appeal, and a huge crowd carried Stavsky from the courthouse in Yerushalayim to Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav, which at that time was on Rehov HaRav Kook, for those of you who know Yerushalayim, just off of the center of town at Rehov Yafo, between Yafo and Rehov HaNaviim. This was the first time Stavsky met Rav Kook, and he personally thanked Rav Kook for his efforts. A brief celebration ensued, after which, at Rav Kook's request, Stavsky went for the first time to the Wailing Wall, to the Kotel, in order to recite Tehillim and thanksgiving to the Lord. And Rav Kook showed Stavsky which Tehillim to recite. When Zev Jabotinsky, who was in Warsaw while all this was happening, and we of course began our trip there, when Zev Jabotinsky, who carefully orchestrated Stavsky's defense — it was Jabotinsky who hired the lawyers that defended Stavsky in Jerusalem — when he learned of the acquittal, he immediately sent the following telegram to Rav Kook. The telegram is extant. In Hebrew it reads, Ha'am v'hanoar lo yishkechu li'olam et kolcha shegila mechadash et gvurat ha'masoret ha'ivriya. In translation, the Jewish nation and its youth will never forget the voice you raised, which revealed anew the strength